As ironic as this may sound, we were asked for everyone to please shut off their cell phones. A little humor to begin the evening. Bereshut, the Rosh Yeshiva, and the Menahalim of our high school, the Menahalot of both our girls' high school and girls' elementary school, we say to everyone, Bruchim Habaim B'Shem Hashem. And I don't know if there's an event more appropriate to open with those words, because everyone knows why we're here tonight. And sometimes we gather for a graduation, so we have a little bit of an ulterior motive. We come, as we say in Arabic, to shep a little nachat from our children. A little bit ulterior in the motive. We come to opening night, so we have an ulterior motive. We want to get to meet our teachers, PTA, we want to hear some nice words or some constructive words about our children. Tonight, there's no ulterior motive. The only reason that each and every one of us are here tonight is only to be able to be mitchazek on behalf of our families, ourselves, and our children. There's no other purpose in tonight's event, only chizuk in our own yahadut, in our own yiddishkeit. And bezat Hashem, a number of months ago, if I remember correctly, it was Bein Kesel Asor, between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. In this building, we had a meeting that was led by our own Rosh Yeshiva, together with two other distinguished Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Aaron Schechter of Chaim Berlin, and Rabbi Chaim Epstein from Borough Park, two, in addition to our own Rosh Yeshiva, three Gedolei Yisrael, were here in a meeting in this room upstairs with 50 principals, men and women, mechanchim and mechanchot, the taches etzah, to come together, to think together. What could we possibly do to put a niche, so to speak, into the onslaught which is coming towards our children? And then a couple of weeks ago we met again, and the product of those two meetings and many, many hours of work, as you can well imagine, were the brochures that we mailed out to every parent and the unified letter signed without fail of every single Mossad here in Flatbush, both the boys' schools and the girls' schools. Whoever didn't receive that brochure in the mail, we felt that it wasn't something appropriate to send home with the children, so we went to the expense. If you paid attention to the envelope, it was a dollar, an envelope of a Kirschenbaum, please. And if anyone didn't get it, we have many more here for distribution. But as we said, we were metaches etzah, what to do. And one of the etzot that came up, there was really two final conclusions. If the people wouldn't mind, you have pens? Just to sign in, it's very important to sign in, please. Pass it around by the men and the women. That two things would be done by all the schools in Flatbush. And something that was done already in Lakewood and in Muncie and in Borough Park. And what would be done with it was two things. To publish this brochure, which was a very costly undertaking, a very time-consuming undertaking, to issue a proclamation signed by all the principals, mechanchim and mechanchot, in Flatbush, and more than all, each and every school, to make an assembly such as this, to share with the parents what is going on. There was once an event held in Chinka with a few thousand people, and there we felt that we were preaching to the converted. Who came? B'nai Torah, yeshiva people, people who don't know from all this nonsense. And they're the ones that came, and the Menahalim said, we're preaching to the converted. And We felt that if each Mossad would make such an assembly on their own, it would be reaching the parents, mothers and fathers who we have to reach. And this was the undertaking when our two schools began, and that's why we're here tonight. Moray v'rabotai, we are facing a situation that is difficult for many, many b'chinot, many, many reasons. And whoever deals with these issues feels that the major, major way to address it is to educate the parents. Because after a tremendous amount of research, we have found that many parents are clueless, clueless as to what is going on in today's world of technology. And what do we mean by clueless? Two things. Either they have no idea what's going on, or even after they're told what's going on, they refuse to believe it. And they go with the same old attitude, not my child. Do you know who my child is? Do you have any idea of what kind of kosher home I keep? Do you have any idea? Not my child, not my husband, not my wife, not my siblings. And anyone who proceeds with that attitude is like an ostrich who's hiding their head in the sand. Because what we are going to speak about tonight is something that can occur, lo aleinu, in the best of homes, with the best of children, with the most kadosh children, and in the most kadosh homes. Because the power of this Yetzer Hara is enormous, enormous. And while I was doing this brochure, while the principals here in Flatbush were doing this brochure, I had a preliminary that was done by the artist that was working on it, and I was in Lakewood, and I went to Montesioro Solomon to show it to him. And he tells me, Rabbi Weinberg, there's a principal in Lakewood that's at this moment putting together a video with the exact same concepts that you have in your brochure. So I asked for the name, and I ran over to the man's house, and he showed me a video, and it's unbelievable how they were working in Lakewood simultaneously to us in Flatbush, and one didn't know about what the other was doing. And the video, what we're going to be showing tonight, is that video of Lakewood, and we shared the brochure. We have sent already hundreds and thousands of the brochures to Lakewood. We printed 15,000 of those brochures that you got in the mail. And I don't know if we're going to have enough by the end of the day. So obviously, it's not something that's unique to Flatbush, not something that's unique to Lakewood or to Muncie or to Borough Park or wherever it is over the country, and it's not to say this is a wealthy problem. Wealthy people have this problem. Or this is a problem of modern people. Or this is a problem of the turned-off yeshivish people. Or this is this problem or that problem. This is a problem that's across the board and affects everyone. And nobody should try to hide in their little corner and say, it's not Nogeya to me, because it's Nogeya to all of us. And I say this out loud because I'm talking to myself, and I'm just saying it loud that everybody else should hear it as well. I'm looking around the room, and I don't want to date myself, but I think I'm probably older than most of the people here in the room. And I grew up as a yeshiva boy here in America as well. I don't want to date myself, but 40, 45 years ago, I was also a little kid. And the world at that time went through the exact same thing that we're going through now, with a very similar attitude. Very similar attitude. Because at that time, when the people came from Europe, the people who came through the Holocaust, and settled down, and got a home, got an apartment. And what were the first things that a person bought in those days? And you're talking about in the 1950s and the early 1960s, even religious people. What was the first thing they bought? Was a television. And the Rabbanim came out very, very sharply against television. And in those days, nobody knew what they were talking about. They were saying, what are these people talking about? Are they from Appalachia? I remember the word. Are the rabbis from Appalachia? Don't they realize that this is the modern world? Don't they realize that the television, that's the way it is, and nothing's going to change it? Don't they realize? What are they talking about? And in that time, if any of you want to date yourself, and you should know there are going to be words said here tonight that I hope I still have a job for tomorrow morning. Television was in those days. You couldn't have immorality on television. You couldn't have foul language on television. You couldn't say things about family life on television in the 1950s and the 60s. And here there were rabbis signing proclamations that television is taref and television will be the ruination of our generation. And we all looked and we said, what are they talking about? After 10 or 15 years, we all realized what they were talking about. They saw then that Chacham Adif Minavi, that a wise man takes precedence over a prophet, and they knew very well where this is going to lead us to. You know why? Because they said that we're letting a foreign entity into our homes. All throughout the generations of the thousands of years of Jewish exile, parents were the balabatim of their homes. What came in and what came out of their homes, the parents were koveya. By allowing the television as clean as it was into our homes and letting our children sit there glued to the box for hours on end, we were giving over the keys to our children's future to this box. And they realized it, they saw it, and as much as people claim, well, I only have it for Channel 13, and I only have it for this, and I only have it for that, was nonsense, and they saw it. Those holy rabbis saw it. Today, any respectable person realizes that a television is allowing filth into a person's home. I had a goy, an acquaintance, a professor, who told me that he wouldn't allow a television in his home. A goy, he says, because it stinks, and it takes away from the entire education of a child, because how can a teacher possibly compete with the bright lights and shining stars on a television? How can the teacher the next morning go in and compete with that TV? But today we know that the entire society of decadence and immorality is brought into anyone's home that has a television. So Baruch Hashem, we're not talking to that. But today we have a tremendous, tremendous challenge, very similar to the challenge of 40, 50 years ago. And again, the rabbis are screaming and yelling and crying bitter tears. I've sat at meetings by Rabbi Rosenblum in the home and by Rabbi Matisyo in Lakewood with tears were crying over what's going on with people who are going off the derech from the best of homes on the internet. And there are people you talk to and they said, what are you talking about, Rabbi? All I'm doing is shopping. All I'm doing is going online to get my email. What are you talking about? And little do they know that they are putting their children and their homes and their wives and everyone at tremendous risk. Tremendous. So, Baruch Hashem, we went a step further, and I hope everyone realizes, if not, I say it clearly, having unrestricted internet in your home that your children can get their hands on is like giving your children a loaded gun and begging them to blow their brains out. Rahmana litzlan. There's no other way to say it. And believe me, tonight we're not going to sugarcoat anything. That your child has access to an internet when you're not home, and even when you are home, because let's face it, any adult above 30 or 40 years old has a much more difficult time dealing with all these electronics than any 7-year-old. I have this computer that I got from New York City, and I use it because I have no choice. That's the unfortunate reality of today. And I put in so many passwords and so many precautions that you can't even get into the user without knowing a certain trick. And I thought that I was the biggest, wisest, tremendous genius in the world. I had it in camp, and I was showing the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation video for one of the Tanaisim. And the plug went out. The plug went out. And I said to the boys, one second, let me go and put it back on, because you're not going to know how to get in, because I put in 25 mechanisms and passwords. So the boys laugh at me. 12-year-old boys, the rabbi, stand to the side. And they go, like, this, and 5 minutes they're in there. But it's not a joke. Any parent who thinks, I put in a password, I have an associate, a principal that tells me, listen to this, that tells me that he put in, he had a mother in his office, and they called her in to say that the child was watching the weed that was able to be had anywhere. So what is the response? Well, I guess I must change my password. Shumu shamayim. Passwords don't help. And believe me, whatever I know, this whole brochure, by the way, I should write, written, authored, edited by 11-year-olds. Because that's what I did. All the stuff that's in that brochure I got from kids. So we shouldn't fool ourselves. Not to fool ourselves that we'll be smarter than the kids. We'll be more above it. We'll put passwords. We'll put protection. We can't let our kids have access to it whatsoever. And that's the reality. And anybody who disagrees is like disagreeing with the rabbis of 40, 50 years ago the television is rotten. Because this is the reality. Kids have gotten into the worst schmutz. And I didn't come here to preach to adults, but I'm telling you that on the desks and the tables of those gedolim are dozens and dozens and dozens of divorces from kollel people, from rabbis, from the nicest balabatim. But I didn't come here to speak to adults. We're talking now about the children. So what did the Yetzer Hara do after we put tried to put a certain type of obstacle to the internet, not to have computers with unrestricted internet in our homes? So the Yetzer Hara had a, you think you're smart? I'll fix you. So what did the Yetzer Hara do? He developed at least a dozen toys. Because when I tell parents, do you realize what you bought for your child? What toy you bought? So the parents say, in all innocence, I bought him a toy. Rabbi Weinberg, what a Game Boy Strafe. A Game Boy Strafe. So in my brochure that we gave out, the lowest level of items on that brochure is a Nintendo DS. Then, from the Nintendo DS, came all the other clay mashkes, the Wii and the PSP and all these other things. And when I find it, and I ask the parents, are you aware what's on here? I said, no, it's a toy. I have no clue. And then the Wii and the PlayStation, all these things have internet access. Then you can say to yourself, what's wrong with a Palm Pilot? What could possibly wrong with a Palm Pilot? They're going to have all kinds of Torah programs. You know, the Rebbeinu Shlomo has all his ways. Torah programs, the Gemara and the Shas and the Chumash and who knows, and Rashi and Targum and whatever else. Today, they don't make Palm Pilots without internet. They don't. They just don't. I took away an iPod. What could be guilty with an iPod? An iPod, I wanted my kids to listen to music. Today, Rabotai, they don't make iPods that don't have the ability of 200 hours of video. That's the smallest iPod. The smallest iPod has 200 hours of video in it. The ability, the capacity. His iPod, in a minute, they can be metameh an entire class or an entire neighbor or an entire block. That's the facts. That's the reality. Anybody wants to debate it with me, I'm welcome to sit here all night. But I can prove it to you. I can call Nintendo for you. We can call the companies that make all these clay mashkit, and they're proud of it. I had a parent, maybe sitting in this room, that when we sent out the letter or we spoke about it by the orientation, that who half of us didn't even know what it was, and I didn't either, has internet capacity. So they said, no, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So they went on King's Highway to the store there on East 13th or East 14th, and the store people were showing off to him what this Wii could do. He called me back. He was still shivering. He was shaking on the phone. I heard the palpitations of his heart on the phone after what the salesman in the store, in the game store on East 13th and King's Highway was showing him what they can do with this Wii. Shumu shamayim! And this is what we're buying for our children, for our grandchildren, because we're nice to them, and because we love them, and because we want to cater to them, and we want to make them feel good, so we're feeding them this kli mashkit. Then we also said that we're going to speak about this business with the phones and the text messaging. Rabotai, let's face reality. Either we are going to be in control of our homes, or we're not going to be in control of our homes. I remember 30, 40 years ago, what was the height of independence for a teenage girl in the Hamishic community? and people could, and I'm for sure going to date myself, was a princess telephone. A teenage girl that was able to convince her parents to allow her to have an extension to the one and only line that they had in the home, and it was pink. Pink! A pink telephone! I remember when a princess telephone was developed. That a girl could get, a teenage girl could get a princess telephone, she was the queen. The queen. Now, let's analyze this for a second. What was a princess telephone beyond Mahim? There was only one line in the house. Who of us, of our parents, had two lines? Nobody. So you got an extension to have a little bit privacy in your room. In the girl's room, she was able to use the house. Now, everybody knows, if she'd be talking on the phone, mommy could be wanting to call somebody. Picks up the phone, she hears what she says. No girl in her right mind would do something not according to the hashgacha of her parents on a phone, because the phone was part of the family. So she was zoicha, those few Japs, those few Jewish American princesses, that was zoicha that the parents could afford another $20 a month for a princess telephone. But who was in control? Mommy and daddy were still in control of the home. What we have done now, biyadayim, with our own two hands, is to give the keys of our Yiddishkeit to our children. And it's like giving a 12-year-old the keys to a car. Would anybody in their right mind give the keys to their car to a 12-year-old? A telephone, a cell phone is much more dangerous. Why? Because this whole concept, and in a minute we're going to talk about whether they should have phones, they shouldn't have phones, whether they should have texting ability, not texting ability. But this shigaon, that a child can say, this is my phone. And what does that mean, my phone? That they have their own phone number, their friends can access them without any rishus, without any permission from their father or their mother. So what did we just do? We gave our children an independence that we lost control over them. Chaim Yosef, when the people came from Syria in the 1990s, the people came from Halab, from Sham, and they had no concept, no clue about what goes on in America. So I remember sitting there by registration, the father said, Ani abal habayit shel habat sheli. I'm the boss of my daughter. And Chaim Yosef sat back and he laughed and he said, Techakeh. Just wait. So in America, where we have so much difficulty being the boss over our children, so we're handing our children the key to independence, that they can call whoever they please, when they please, they can receive calls from whoever and whenever they please. What are we, out of our minds? We are literally out of our minds. And then the parents come and tell me, but it's only $10 a month. It's only $10 a month. Another phone is only $10 a month. But what happens with the $10 a month? We give them a number of their own. They don't have to go through the parents' line or the house line. They have independence. They call who they want. They go where they want. They come where they want. And they have contact to whoever they want. That's how the schmutz on this 8th grader's phone happened. Because when the mother, if I would ever have a chance to show the mother the schmutz, she'd faint in my office. Faint. I'd be out of a job if I shared with you what's on it. But faint on the moment. Hey, look at you, this your mother. And then comes the issue with the texting. The texting, Abotai, is the end of all ends. Why? Because the texting removes the busha. Whatever a girl or a boy would say to each other face to face becomes so much easier when you're texting. Who has the busha to talk to another child, a teenager, with the most disgusting language? But texting? Texting? What's texting? Big deal. Kids could be up, and I said this by orientation, till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning in their rooms because all these phones have lights. With their lights closed, the parents thinking the Heilig in the Shomer is sleeping and getting rest for the next morning. And they're up till 2 o'clock in the morning texting. If you don't believe me, ask your kids. If they're honest with you, they will be minded to you. Texting takes away busha from children. It also takes away busha from adults, but that's a different story. texting gives the children the ability to call and to text anywhere and anything. The issue with texting, and if somebody has the ability to receive that they didn't block the internet from the phones, because every single phone has internet capability unless it's blocked. And this is on everybody's telephone. Anybody who doesn't believe me, give me your telephones and I'll show you in a minute how to do it. Now, if you're going to tell me that you're going to give a kid a phone that has these capabilities of texting, of email, of internet, of television, and they're my heilige kid. My heilige kid? My heilige kid doesn't do these things. My yasa ben shelo yechta. What should a child do when he's exposed to all these things? And besides that, the fact that they can text whenever they please and whoever they please, you never know what kind of predator is going to get his hands on them. Because there was one store that had the cell phone numbers of every kid that he sold a cell phone to, or every kid that had a second phone through his parents' line. And he had all those numbers. Now, anybody who has a computer can text message 1,000 people at one time, 500 people at one time, 200 people at one time, as long as you have them on your list. And you can't prevent it unless you block out the text messaging. Unless you block out the text messaging, you are susceptible to get anything and everything that any callous, depraved mind can think of. And that's what we're handing to our kids. Now, what's the excuse? It only costs $10 a month. It only costs $10 a month. And with this, I'm going to close. A lot of parents came to discuss tonight's event with me before the event. And each and every one of them had tremendous insight. Tremendous. And I just want to share with you those two insights that parents came to me. The first insight that they came to me is that they said, Rabbi Weinberg, we have to teach ourselves how to say no to our children. We live in a generation where we are so kind and where we are so concerned for the health and development of our children that we forgot how to say no. And what do we want to do? We want the school to say no because we're afraid to say no to our children. Because what's the famous line? Everybody has it. Mommy, I'm going to be the only girl in the class that doesn't have a phone. Everybody has it. So what happened? We forgot how to say no to our kids. And what should be? So the school should do it. So what are we teaching our kids? That the mommies and daddies are either on the same page with the school or not, or they say, what can we do? The school instituted the rule. And instead of encouraging our children to see that it's not HaTorah Azeh Lo Titosh HaTorah Azeh, that the Torah is not changed, and our Torah parents are the boss of the home. And if we relinquish by handing a child a phone that they can receive and send text messaging and phone calls by themselves without a parent's reshus, there was no such a thing in my parents' home that I would use the phone. And I didn't live in such a restricted home, but if I wanted to, and I'm sure that everybody here who's 30 years old and above, you wanted to use the phone, you asked, Mommy, Daddy, can I use the phone for a minute? And you couldn't hog the phone, pardon the expression, for 30, 40, 50 minutes. Even if you had a princess phone. Now, it's my phone. My phone. What kind of nonsense is this? My phone. So somebody tells me, it's security. I don't want my child going out at night without security. I don't know what the security was 20 years ago, but lozai. So, you give a kid your phone. Because if you give a kid your phone, you're balabas. But if you let a kid have my phone, you handed the keys of your Yiddishkeit to that kid. I'm not saying you can't trust your kid for 5 minutes because they're going someplace to the grocery, or if they're on a trip, they're driving, whatever, you can't hand them a phone. But it's your phone. There's no such a thing that a teenager, a kid who's still in school, who's still dependent on you, doesn't have 5 cents to their name, never knew what it meant to make 5 cents. My phone? What kind of shigaon is that? So we have to learn how to say no. We have to learn how to be not afraid of our children, not afraid of that everybody has it, that everybody, like they tell me, well, my kid can't go to play by his friend because he doesn't have a Wii, and they don't want to play. They don't want to play with him because he doesn't have a Wii. See, they don't play with him. We have to learn how to say no. And then this was the last thing. And this was a very, very legitimate concern. Rabbi. And this, by the way, in that meeting that we had up here with the 50 principals, many of the principals brought it up. And they said, what are we giving our children as an alternative? What are we giving our children as an alternative? We have to give them something in place of all of these things. I hope I don't get into trouble. But I told this to Chaim Yosef, he tells him, if a boy and a girl want to do an Aveira, so we're going to ask, so we should ask before we tell them not to do the Aveira, we should tell them, but what are we giving them as an alternative? But that's not the case. The truth of the matter is we have to give our children an alternative. So, 30 years ago, there was no busha if a child learned a musical instrument. There was no busha if a child learned how to play a clarinet. Today, a clarinet? I bet you 90% of my school doesn't even know what a clarinet is. To play a violin, a clarinet. There are kids who have such tremendous musical inclinations. Let them play a musical instrument. Let them play sports. Let them play sports. Let them go to a shiur at night. Let them go to find the chavuta at night. Let them come to the gym. I have this gym, a blessing on this gym. Let them come and play. Let them fight. Let them run around the building. Let them destroy the building. But not to be on this nonsense. We have to find legitimate alternatives for them. Let's teach them how to play. And I hate to say it, let's spend some time with them. Let's spend some time with them. When the television came out in the 1950s, everybody said, because that's when the people started going to work and the mothers started to going to work, they said, oh, Givaldic, a free babysitter. You put the kid by the, you park the kid by the box, you come back 4 hours later, maybe for a bag of popcorn they moved, maybe. If the commercials weren't nice. And I don't mean nice in a kosher way, I mean if they weren't interested in the commercial. We are giving ourselves a very cheap excuse how to get out of being a decent parent. Because if you give a kid a Wii, so you can play tennis with your friend all afternoon, so you don't need a father, you don't need a mother, because you have a Wii. So for $300 or $400, you got yourself a surrogate parent. We as parents, and as busy as we are, and I speak about myself, as busy as we are, as overwhelmed as we are, we have to spend more time with our kids. But if, let's say we can't. Let's say we can't. We're busy, ala michyav, ala kalkola, we can't. So we have to buy this narishkeit for our kids. We can't figure out something else. Rabbi Maimon Elbaz is willing to take care of our kids as much as you want. As much as you want. Send them the kids to Rabbi Maimon, that's all. We have to find alternatives. Develop an appreciation for music in the kids. It used to be that a bakovidika home, a home with class, let's talk English, a home with class had a piano. Even if you could, my parents came here after the Holocaust, they didn't have 5 cents, but they wanted a piano. So we lived in a small apartment. It had an upright piano. They couldn't afford more. A more balabatish person, a wealthier person, had a grand piano, or a baby grand piano. How many people today have a piano? What would be so terrible if we would teach our kids to play piano? Find things for them to do. Do things. I can't stand. Somebody asked me, I should give out a sheet of alternatives. I can't sit here now and develop a sheet of alternatives. But we're all very intelligent people. We're all very creative, and we all know our own children. One child is better in sports, and one child is better in music, and one child is better in art. Give them art lessons. So somebody's going to say, Rabbi, that's not yeshivish. Give my kid art lessons. That's not yeshivish. But this garbage is, yeah, yeshivish. Well, letting my kid play the drums, that's not yeshivish. But this garbage, that's yeshivish. Enough. Enough, Rabbosai. And the last thing is that we have to be mitpalel, we have to pray. We have to daven to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to be shofer de ma'ot, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam watch our children. Because with all this chokhmah and all this wisdom and all these brochures and all these videos, as you're going to see here later tonight, if we don't have siyata d'shmaya, we're lost. And we know one thing, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam protects a person that tries to protect themselves. And a person who allows bad things into their home is losing their siyata d'shmaya in a second. And without siyata d'shmaya, without heavenly help, we don't stand a chance. I think that I said enough, and I beg forgiveness for anything that I said out of line. But Rabotai, this is something that is bar naimad nafesh. I answer the Eitzah hotline Wednesday nights. That's my night. I don't know if you people know what the Eitzah hotline is. Person has a problem, they call up, anonymous, you don't have to identify yourself, there's no caller ID, there's no nothing. And they ask principals, both men and women, some of our menahalot answer it as well. The tzarot, the tears, the bechiyot that I listen to Wednesday night from parents who they lost their children and sometimes they lost their spouses to this garbage. Let's not allow it to happen to any of us. Let's try to beg for siyata d'shmaya. And if it hurts a little bit, if it costs a little bit more, a kosher phone is a little bit more expensive maybe than the $10 additional phone. Let's be able to withstand that yetzer hara that it's only $10. And let's try our best to teach ourselves to say no to ourselves so we'll be able to say no to our children. And if we can do all of that, we'll be zochet to the siyata d'shmaya that Hashem should protect ourselves. Protect us both beruchaniyut and begashmiyut. And we should hear besurot tovot from Eretz Yisrael. And here in the United States, we should be protected. And by the way, all those people that call me that we need more security, we hear your calls. And we're trying to figure out things, what we can do to increase the security. But that's a physical security. We have to also increase the security of our ruchaniyut, that we should be zochet to the ultimate siyata d'shmaya.